Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
So we're continuing our series, Whose Will Be Done, and today we're focusing on the prayer of Jabez. Jabez? You studied Hebrew. Tell me, what is it? In Hebrew, it's different. Oh, great. Great. Okay. Well, you know what? We're just going to swing between Jabez and Jabez. We'll use both. Is that okay? So then nobody's offended. Yes? Yeah, I'm sure many of you listening, when you hear Jabez, Jabez, many people don't actually know that much about the man. Jabez is known for a very short passage in Scripture, a very short passage in the Bible, and it contains a short prayer he read, which was read for us just a moment ago in 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10. You know, in the year 2000, so 21 years ago, a book was published. This book in my hand was published by a man called Bruce Wilkinson. The book is called The Prayer of Jabez, Prayer of Jabez. And interestingly, I was actually going to show you a photo of the book. And then Alan and I were having a conversation during the week. And he said, oh, yes, I'll kindly lend you a copy. And then it turns out he lent me Gene's copy. I don't know if Gene is aware of this lending. But, well, she's probably aware now. So this is Gene's copy of the book. I wanted to show a picture. So thank you for lending me a copy that didn't belong to you. You know, this book... Those of you who know it, this book was the source of countless sermons, and I mean countless. It was everywhere you turned, you would think Jesus was coming again if you in this book. It gave rise to a number of other books. It gave rise to all sorts of merchandise. Prayer of Jabez, plaques, mugs, I mean, you know, teaspoons, t-shirts. It was everywhere. It was just everywhere. But this book, you see, this book was so popular that in the first 2 years alone, over 9 million copies were sold in the first 2 years. I mean, we're 21-ish years away from that now. The book is about 22 million copies sold in print, not even counting just this book alone, not counting the other stuff that comes with that. So very, very popular. If you search for the words The Prayer of Jabez or Jabez, eventually somewhere you'll read, I'm sure there are people that talk about how the book became so popular that people were using the prayer as it was breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They were using it in such a repetitive manner over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. You know, Matthew 6:7, Jesus teaches that it's not a healthy thing when we just repeat prayers over and over and over again. Yet people use this in honestly an almost superstitious way, because they thought this prayer, that's the answer to my success. That's the answer to healing and prosperity and wealth. For some people, it was the magic wand of prayers that they were looking for. And honestly, if you read the book, I mean, Bruce Wilkinson, I don't think he helped matters much. Page 86 of the book, he makes a statement. In this book, he says, I challenge you to make the prayer, the Jabez prayer for blessing, part of the daily fabric of your life. I encourage you to follow unwaveringly the plan outlined here for the next 30 days. By the end of that time, you'll notice significant changes in your life, and the prayer will be on its way to becoming a treasured lifelong habit. Yeah, I don't think that was helpful, personally. Now, as much as I don't think that's how the prayer was intended to be used when God included it in the Bible, I think this is actually a good book. So after having said all that, I think it's a good book because more than anything, it sheds light on the prayer, draws attention to a prayer that I think, well, obviously, it stayed insignificant for centuries. It's been for millennia, it's been insignificant, as it were. Nobody actually noticed it per se. And this book did a wonderful job of drawing our attention to that. You know, because where the prayer of Jabez is, it's in First Chronicles. You know, First Chronicles, you know. Gosh, have you ever read First Chronicles? How many people have actually read? Listen, if there's a Bible study and everybody's taking turn to read, if you get First Chronicles, I tell you what, if you're having trouble sleeping at night, yeah, open your Bible to First Chronicles and start to read. Trust me, it will help. You know, so if you have a Bible to hand, just glance, look at First Chronicles chapter 1. Yeah, you know, from chapter 1 on. I mean, in fact, the first 9 chapters of First Chronicles are actually simply a roll call. It's a list of names. Remember when you're in school? Jackson, present. Matthews, present. Who else? Haywood, present. Barnes, present. Styles, present. Ayarinde, present. Do you know? And this First Chronicles is a little bit like that. The book of Chronicles, First Chronicles particularly, book of Chronicles, you're looking at nearly 500 names continuously. And these names are not insignificant. These are the families in the 12 tribes of Israel. So they are key names. If your name was in there, that's it. You are significant, you know. So it's a book of names and they're listed. And most of the names are just listed. There are no comments next to them. But a number of names stand out. Look at First Chronicles chapter 1. Look at verse 19. There's a guy there called Peleg. Peleg effectively means division or divided. Yeah, that's what his name means, divided. In chapter 2 and verse 3, we read about a guy called Ur. Ur, the Bible says, was wicked in God's sight. Most of the names have no comment. The guy's name is, I mean, imagine how the conversation, hi, what's your name? You know? And obviously, maybe because people were mocking him so much, he became wicked. The guy was wicked in God's sight. Yeah, so those are the comments. If you look at verse 7 of chapter 2, same chapter 2, verse 7, there's a guy there called Achar or Achan, same guy, same name. And he's the guy who brought disaster to the people of Israel because of his sin. In the first 2 chapters of First Chronicles, we have one guy whose name means divided or division. We have another guy who was wiped out because of his wickedness. And we have a third guy who's, because of his sin, trouble came to Israel. Now, when we scan chapter 3, not very much happens. Then we get to chapter 4 and verse 9. And one name jumps out from the crowd. I mean, it's like a camera scanning. You know that we see CCTVs of train stations. It's like a camera scanning a crowd of 500 names. And suddenly, one is in focus. This guy, Jabez. From the beginning, there's something a little bit unique about him. And, you know, I don't know your story. Some of your stories I know a little bit. I know in parts. But I don't know your story in full. Maybe you're the same. Something a little bit unique about you. Maybe you're experiencing something similar. As we journey through the text today, I want to ask you again, let God speak to you. So first, I want to point out five things, that I saw, that I learned from the prayer of Jabez. Right? Number one, Jabez had a strong character. You know, we read that he was more honorable than his brothers. In some ways, there's an allusion here, there's an inference here that his brothers weren't very honorable. And so, I mean, thinking about you, what's God saying about your story, about your background, about your profile, your history, your family? Yeah. So number one, Jabez was a man of good honor. He was had a strong character. Number two, Jabez was a pain to his mother. And it's right there. His mother named him Jabez. Jabez meaning pain. I mean, why would she do that? I mean, why'd you name your child pain? Gosh. You read some names in the Bible and you think, moms, what was going on? I mean, didn't somebody give her a baby name book? You know? What was going on? And obviously, I don't think she was naming him after the pain of childbirth. I think there was something deeper going on for her. It's not just about the baby, about childbirth pain. You know, verse 9 gives us that insight. It says, I gave birth to him in pain, but it's not about the physical pain. I don't believe so. His name shows that something was troubling his mother about him. Something was troubling. She was discouraged. The only thing she could see in her future was difficulty. So she named her baby Pain. Only God knows what that pain was. Is this you? Have you ever felt like you're a pain to other people? Have you ever felt like you're the problem? Again, let God speak to you. So number 3, Jabez's future actually looked quite bleak. You know, in some cultures today, babies are given the name of a relative. Sometimes it's a Bible name. Sometimes it's a name that's made up and sounds good. In the Bible, children were often given names that would reflect their character, reflect who the parents, the family want them to be, pray that they will be, reflect their destiny. So for example, Solomon, we know Solomon, David's son. Yeah. The name Solomon means peace. Yeah, I know you were waiting for me to get it right. That's why you didn't answer. You know, the name Solomon actually means peace. And guess what? Of all the kings in Israel, Solomon was the first, I think he was the only one, to reign without going to war. Yeah, so it's, again, you know, those of you who are still going to have children, it's important that you think about the names you give your children. Those of us that have, you know, reached the number of completion, we're done. So names matter in the Bible. Jabez's name means pain. It meant pain. So this guy had a bleak future. He had an uphill battle from the start, from the get-go. You know, often mothers will address their children with their pride and joy. You know, say, hey, my little bundle. Well, you're too big for that. Hey, my little bundle of joy. Hello, sunshine. Hello, cutie. I mean, what did she say? Oi, you loser. Imagine, you know, he's playing in the garden. She wants to call him in. She says, you that causes me distress, come and have your dinner. Effectively, that's what she's saying every time she says the name Jabez. You know, you, my source of pain, you, my source of grief, come and eat. Do you struggle in your life with who you've been? When you look back over your life, who do you see? When you look back, do you see someone that others expected to fail? Do you? Number 4, Jabez's family, I think, were probably poor. I think so. I do think so. This guy, in fact, poor and dysfunctional, I would say. And let me tell you why I say that. First thing he did, he prayed that God would enlarge his territory, right? And this is a prayer for material possessions. Don't know if that's the next one. It's a prayer for material possessions, right? And I don't believe, because of that, I don't believe he was rich. Because if you look through scripture, most rich people didn't pray for more wealth. They prayed for other things because they knew how to access wealth, if you understand what I mean. The other thing is, although his mother is featured, his father is not mentioned. If you look back over the chronology, look at all the other names. Such, such was the father of such. Such, such was the father of such. Such, such was the son of such, such. You know, so do you understand? There was always a mention of a father, 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 Jabez, mother. So I get the sense that his family was probably dysfunctional. His dad was probably out of the picture. Maybe that was part of what was causing his mother pain. Every time she saw that boy, maybe it reminded her of that no good man. You know, I don't know. Look, let me say this. Many of you will remember my induction. Remember my induction? Woo! Greatest day in Pollard's Hill. Woo! I'm going to say that. I don't know what you say. my dad flew in from Nigeria. Do you remember, some of you that were here remember him? He kind of made his presence known, right? I'll talk about my dad more another time. You know, So many of you will know that. Some of you will know that I actually didn't have a relationship with my dad growing up. As a child growing up, I didn't know my dad much. I didn't know him very well. We occasionally went to see him on holidays. I wanted to know him. I wished I did. I wished I had access to him, but I didn't have access to him. I, no matter how I reached out, no matter what I did, I couldn't reach him. I didn't have my dad when I was younger. It was as an adult, 15-ish years ago, that I made the decision that nobody has copyright on wrong choices. Nobody has copyright on wrong choices. And if I am truly to live the life of Christ, then I have to truly live the life of Christ, even where it concerns my father. And I say, you know what? I'm going to make my own mistakes. I don't want my children to judge me, or let my children judge me the way I judge my father. You know, and so I thank God he responded, and we have a great relationship now. And you know, when I read this part of Jabez's life, and I'm asking myself, and I'm reflecting on my own experience, you know, seeing his dad wasn't there and stuff was tough. What's your experience? What's your family background? Was there dysfunction? Every family has drama. Some families' drama series is only 3 episodes. Some of us, our drama series is episode 1 to 20, and that's season 1. Then there's a season 2 and a season 3. And it just seems like the drama won't stop. Maybe you're not just reading what Jabez went through. Maybe you actually get it, you understand it, because you've been there. So what is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? You know, one really wonderful thing about Jabez, the fifth thing about Jabez, is despite all of this stuff, despite the difficulty, look at the words of his prayer in verse 10. This guy is not content with remaining where he is. Yeah, and this is what really matters. He's praying, Lord, keep me from harm so that I'll be free from pain. Think about the words that he's using here. This guy is effectively, he's saying, Lord, whatever it is that is wrong, I pray that these wrong things will stop jabezing me in my life. Effectively, that's what he's saying. Will stop hurting me. Deliver me from this stuff. Lord, keep me from the pain that I keep bringing on myself. You know, somebody once said, the worst enemy is the inner me. The worst enemy is the inner me. Yeah. So here's Jabez, yeah? Let's add it all up. We see the picture of a man who has all the odds stacked against him. His family seem to have humiliated, embarrassed the family. His mother thinks he's a pain. His father's not in the picture. He seems to have no property, no cash, no secure financial future. And I'm sure there are many of you listening today who feel a similar way. Maybe your family has made you feel insignificant. Maybe someone close to you did that. Maybe your dad wasn't there. You didn't feel you had the right support that you wanted. Perhaps your siblings were an embarrassment to you. Perhaps. Maybe your money is too tight to mention. You're worrying about the future. Well, that's where your prayer comes in. Jabez prayed this prayer. He said, Lord, bless me. Enlarge my territory. Stay with me. Keep me. Let your hand be with me. Take me from pain. Take me from evil. Help me be free from pain. And you can see the words. Look at how he lays it out. He cries out, the scripture says. Listen, saints, this wasn't a whisper. This wasn't some guy trying to do some polite prayer. Okay, dear Lord, excuse me. But Lord, have you ever been desperate for change in your life? Sometimes you need to stop looking at the people to your left and to your right. You don't have to be nice. Let me help you with something. If someone's in the water, someone falls into the water and the person says, help, can somebody help me, please? Who's going to jump in there? Who's actually going to jump in there? They're going to take out their phones and they're going to film. But if someone falls in water and says, help, everybody springs into action. That's what it means to cry to God. And sometimes, forgive me, in our contemporary society, we want to be all nice and prim and proper. You ain't desperate. You ain't ready for it. I'm sorry. I'm saying I'm going there. It's a bit tough to hear, but you ain't desperate. Someone comes to you and says, I'm really, really thirsty. I'm really thirsty. Could I have something to drink? And you offer them a glass of clear liquid and they look at it and they say, before I drink it, can I just ask, is this Avian or is it Volvic? What are you going to say? What are you going to say? Bruv, you ain't hungry. Give me my drink. If I'm that thirsty, I don't care if it's vodka or arsenic. I look at it, it looks like water. I am so desperate. And sometimes for the change to happen in our lives, we need to come to God and strip away the show, strip away the car. Come on, you know what I'm saying. Jesus said, if you don't come like a child, Timilade is 9 months old tomorrow. When that girl is hungry, she doesn't care if the neighbors are sleeping. She doesn't care if anybody's sleeping, actually. 4 o'clock in the morning. Like, girl, we're trying to sleep here. And that's the thing. Jabez cried to the God of Israel. And his prayer. And also, when you look at this prayer, look at the prayer in its entirety. Sometimes you might think, oh, it's a little bit selfish. It's a little bit selfish, a little bit sensitive. Because he uses me, mine, I 5 times in this prayer. 5 times. But is it selfish? Is it so bad? Is it? The things he was asking for, did they end with him? Were they just about him, for him? Was it about his will? Or can we see God's will being done here? See, some of you have anxieties about the issues, the challenges you faced. Maybe frustrations over money, work, sadness, your mood, low mood, effects of lockdown. Maybe it's due to the pain of loss, disappointment, you know, lack of clarity about the future. Maybe even disappointment in yourself. You've Jabez'd yourself. Maybe, because people, we do that sometimes, don't we? You just make the wrong decision and you're like, oh, come on, man, why did you do that? Do you know, aren't we human? Don't we do that? And maybe that's where you are. Maybe that's what's going on. But my question is, how do we respond? How do we respond? How do we respond when we come out of lockdown? How do we respond? In fact, let me say this. You know, we've been talking about this. Oh, we're coming out of lockdown, the new normal. I'm just going to go there and just say this. Personally, I don't believe there's any such thing as a new normal. I think that's a wrong paradigm. I think it's just rooted in a lie. It's rooted in fear. New normal doesn't work in my world. Why? Because if you are living and living is normal, that means you are growing. And that growing is normal, which means you are changing. And if changing is normal, then change is normal. There's no new normal. You see, to say new normal means, oh, let's hold on to what was in the past. Let's go back to the old normal to make people afraid because we don't know what the future. No, 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 don't be afraid. Fear not. There's nothing to fear in the normal. Oh, the new normal. It's not new. It's just normal. Yeah? It's not new. It's just normal. It's gone a different direction. A journey is a journey. Yes? You're still on the same journey. You just took a different turn. And because, again, I need you to just hear that and not be rooted in the fear of, oh, this new normal. What's it going to be like? What's it going to be? God's on your side. Who cares? Hear me? Who cares? Let's go. Let's do it. So anyway, rant over. As I was saying, yeah, how are we going to respond when we come out of lockdown? How are we going to respond to these things, these twists and turns in the journey of life? God is with us. And because he is with us, we do not fear. He is the constant in all things. All things are subject to change. And that is why it says in our motto verse for 2021, I remind you, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. That's what we hold on to. That's what we hold to. The promise, the hope we profess, we hold on to that. Because he who promised is faithful. So again, I ask you, how do we respond to what life brings us? How do we learn to rise up, move forward? Are we going to try and hold on to the old issues? Hold on to the pain? Or do we hold on to the hope that we profess and turn those issues to God? Will we, despite everything that we've been facing, be called, like Jabez, be called honorable? Remember, right at the beginning of the prayer, despite the fact that this guy is a pain, his future is bleak, he's, you know, do you understand? He has family embarrassments, you know, etc., etc., etc. He doesn't have a lot of money. The guy doesn't know what is going on. The scripture, verse 9, starts by telling us he was honorable. So despite our challenges, despite our difficulties, will we too be found honorable? You know, this guy had the right to say, poor me. And he had the right to translate poor me into his prayer, but he didn't do that. He did not do that. You know, the last line of Jabez's prayer tells us that God granted his request. God granted his request. And if we take that into consideration, there is no way this prayer was a selfish prayer. You know why? God is not in the business of granting selfish prayers. He doesn't cater to anyone's selfish needs or selfish desires. In the book of James, in the New Testament, James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, it says this: you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Now, if we take this New Testament understanding as a standard for us today, and we lay it next to the prayer of Jabez, we can see that his desires were not for selfish gain, because God granted it. He prayed, he said, Lord, enlarge my territory. It couldn't have been a greedy request. Interestingly, you know, there's a place in, there was a territory within Judah named Jabez. And it is theologians widely believe that that's the land he was praying for. So, and within this territory, who lived there? The scribes lived there. So it was a land that went beyond him, as it were. And so, hey, if that was the land, because it's not yet 100% known, but it's widely believed. And if that was the land that he prayed for, I say hallelujah. Again, I want to remind you that the very first mention of this man is that he was honorable. He was honorable, so must we be. Our motive must always be to please God. Always. And to give him the praise. Because God is delighted when we praise him. He's delighted. And he blesses us. And when God blesses us, it's not for our glory. It's for his glory. So we can reflect it back to him as the giver of all things. You know, we don't get to understand much about who Jabez was. And interestingly, we actually know more about what he prayed than who he was. We know more about his prayer than his profile. But the truth of it is, it works the other way around. Through his prayer, you get a sense of who he was. Through his prayer. He was a man that prayed beyond his own need. He wasn't limiting his prayers to himself. He didn't want to be a pain to other people. He wanted his territory enlarged. And we can see, again, going by what I said, he was likely a blessing to other people through it. Despite the meaning of his name, he knew that God could do great things, and he called on God. What about you today? What about you today? This word is saying, call on him. God is actually calling you to have faith, to believe in his greatness. Believe that you, if you live an honorable life and respectful life, you can also be a recipient of his wonderful blessings. After all, when God blesses us, he blesses us beyond something that's just for us. He blesses us beyond something that's just for us. And it is at that point that we can truly begin to see not our will, but his will be done.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.